Okay, we're ready to continue. Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Now, I'm going to go through a lot of this with the commentary of the Malbim. He does a very excellent job. And after this flashback to Yeshua sending the Jewish people away, and how the flashback alludes so wonderfully the root of the problem of why the Jewish people failed to drive out the Canaanites and they made the covenants and all the other things, was it was a failure of the leadership to reach the levels they were capable of leading. When the leadership, as the Sephorno says, when the leadership feels that they want to make the most out of enjoying physical life, so what happens is that the masses follow suit in much worse ways. And therefore, if the leadership is not traveling around from city to city, from place to place, encouraging the people to be more devout in their service to Hashem, so it won't happen. And therefore, things spin out of control. And they've been rebuked by the angel, the Malach Pinchas. And Hashem says, and because of this, I'm not going to keep my part of the bargain to the extent that I wanted to. And the people cried and did some type of tshuva. And now we've understand why the problems are. So now we continue. This is now, Pasuk Yud Aleph is now continuing. On one hand, it's continuing right after the Malach's speech to them. But in a more important way, says the Malbim, from Yud Aleph almost until the end of the chapter, through Pasuk Chaf. Through Pasuk Chaf. Which is just about to the end of the chapter, is what the Malbim calls a mamar muskar. It's like in brackets, and really it's like an introduction to the entire Sefer Shoftim and all the stories that's going to be involved in Sefer Shoftim. So let's see what what the Navi has to say over here. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayasu b'nei Yisrael es hara b'nei Hashem. And the Jewish people did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Vayavdu es ha-be'olim. And they served the Baals. Literally, the word Baal is a type of idol worship. Baal means a master. So Baalim are the masters. And that's going to be a term we're going to be referring to often to these idol worships. And that's the Baal. All right. So in other words, if you take on a different master than Hashem, these are the Baalim. Okay, now the Malbim is going to explain what the next few psukim are doing over here, is that the Jewish people descended in levels, one level after another. And it starts, number one, as it says in this pasuk, the Jewish people did evil in the eyes of Hashem, and they worshipped these idols. So first, the first level of descent is the Jewish people do something wrong in Hashem's eyes. And they sin against the mitzvahs of Hashem. Okay, that's step one. Step two is also in this pasuk, that after they reach that level, they reach another level of rebellion, that they even serve the idols. So there's two steps over here in pasuk Yud Aleph. They do bad, number one. They do averus. They're not particular about their mitzvah observance. And then the next step is then they begin to serve foreign idols. Now, even in the worshiping of serving idols, we'll see there are levels in that. There were two levels even in idol worship. There is idol worship where you serve the idols together with Hashem. That's called shituf, partnership. And then there's those who totally forget. And then the second level of that, which really is level three of forgetting, is that you forget Hashem totally, and then you're just not into Hashem at all. So those are the three levels. Number one, you're not doing the will of Hashem. Number two, you're serving idols. And that number two is divided up into two subcategories, is where you're serving idols together with Hashem. And then finally, you totally forget about Hashem, and you're only serving the idols. And that's rock bottom. So that's, Yud Aleph is that introductory comment. And now the next couple of psukim go into much more detail exactly to what's happening with the Jewish people. So in Yud Beis, Okay. Yud Beis, Vayazvu es Hashem, Elokei Avosom, Hamotzi Osom Eretz Mitzrayim. And they left Hashem, the God of their forefathers, who took them out of Mitzrayim. Vayelchu acharei Elohim acherim, and they went after other gods, Melohei Amim, from the gods of the nations, Asher Svivosem, which were around them. Vayishtachavu lahem, and they bowed down to them. Vayachisu es Hashem, and this angered Hashem. They angered Hashem. So first of all, the Malbim says, we should know there's a difference when there's a reference to Hashem. When Hashem is just called Hashem Stam. Just it's Hashem. Which you'll see in Pasuk Yud Gimel in a minute. In Yud Gimel it says, Vayazvu es Hashem. They left Hashem. Only Hashem. And you only say the word Hashem, that's one understanding. But in Yud Beis it says, Vayazvu es Hashem Eloi Kei Avoisom. They left Hashem, who's the God of their forefathers. Now it's not just Stam Hashem, it's Hashem, the God of their forefathers. So what does that mean? So when it means just Hashem alone, it's talking about that He is the creator of the world, who has made the world ex nihilo, and that's one understanding. And then there's the understanding with a ekinui, with an adjective put onto it. Because then when you talk about, you know, the God of our forefathers, that's already personal. That's already where there is a kesher, there's a relationship between the Jewish people and their forefathers, that Hashem shows the Jewish people to be His portion, and He supervises over them, and He watches over them, and there's a much deeper relationship. So that's, as we're seeing in the Parshas in the Torah now, Lech Lecha, you're seeing the relationship Hashem had with Avram. There was give and take, and Hashem tested Avram, and Avram lived up to the test, and Hashem said, I'm so proud of you, and I promise you I'm going to give you this, and do this, and do that. And there's lots of give and take. That's the God of Avram. Not just Stam God. He's the God of Avram. Avram has a relationship with Him. He has a relationship with Avram. Hashem is supervising, and there's a closeness that's there. As opposed to when we say, you know, Hashem, okay, Hashem is this concept, this is being, this godly being, which implies the power of creation and things like that, but doesn't really connote the relationship that Hashem has with us. So therefore the Malbim says, when we're talking about the first aspect of Hashem, where Hashem with the relationship with us, then when you're talking about that, then there should be no partnership with other goyim, with other gods. Because if we have a relationship with Hashem, and Hashem is taking care of us, then we shouldn't, you know, start bowing down. You know, what does it mean? The second stage is when the Jews, sure, I believe in Hashem. What are you talking about? I believe in Hashem. But it's always good to have some other power on your side. You know, it's always good to have the God of so-and-so helping you out. And therefore, you know, in case, whatever, Hashem is upset with me and doesn't want to help me, I'll have, you know, a spare tire to go on. Or maybe really the God of fire is my primary God, and God is the spare tire. Okay. But in other words, so what is it? It's like a relationship with God and a relationship with the idols. But no, you should really only be under the supervision of Hashem. And that's what it says in Sefer Dvarim. Where we're the portion of Hashem from all the nations. Hashem said, I took you. So once, so if you're going to be worshiping other idols as well, so you haven't left Hashem inherently, because you still believe in Hashem, and I believe that Hashem created the world. But in other words, you haven't left Hashem, but we left Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Avosom, Hashem the God of our forefathers, the God of the Jewish people. So they've left that aspect of Hashem, the relationship aspect of Hashem, and instead of wanting to be directly under His supervision without any foreign gods, so we left that God, the God of Hashem Elokei Avosom. Because now, and they left this God of the their fathers who took them out of Mitzrayim. Because what is it, when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, that totally solidified the point that Hashem has a unique supervision over the Jewish people. And I've designated you as my people. So obviously when you start getting involved with other gods, this is going to be getting Hashem very upset. Because these are not two that go together. These are, Hashem is one extreme, the other idols are another extreme. So this gets Hashem very upset. Now, this is, we see this as well today. That's what I talked about in yesterday's Parsha class. That, you ask a frum Jew, do you believe in Hashem? Yes. For sure I believe in Hashem. And then when things aren't going right, they make a lot of efforts in a lot of areas, except, but not to really rely on Hashem to help them out. And they fall apart. And I thought you believed in Hashem. Yeah, I do, but, I don't know how he's going to help me here. So that's that part. If you believe that Hashem will take care of you, then that's the only thing you got. You only have to turn to Hashem, and that's all. You don't have to turn to anything else. So that was step two, right? So you start doing Averis as step one. Step two is you're worshiping other gods, but not in the context of totally forgetting Hashem. What do you mean? I'm a very good religious Jew. And it could very well be, they're doing mitzvahs because they understand there's Hashem, and you have to go to shul, you have to daven, you put on tefillin and things like that. But there's other gods that are very exciting in your life. The gods of Hollywood. I gotta watch this movie. I gotta see this. It's very important. My whole day is ruined if I don't catch up on the soap operas. The gods of sports. I don't follow on the sports. I have to know what's going on. So, you have a relationship with many, many things in this world besides Hashem. And if it's really important to go watch a sporting event, I may have to miss a shiur and things like that. So, you have a relationship with more than Hashem. So, that's descent level number two. But then as you go on to Pasuk Yud Gimel, it gets worse. Now I get rock bottom. Ve'yazvu es Hashem. Now they've left Hashem. This isn't the relationship Hashem anymore. It's the idea of there being Hashem, the creator of the world. And that means you've totally forgotten Hashem. You don't even go to shul anymore now. You're not doing that because what I have to do is no Hashem. And of course the level of idol worship gets jacked up. Vayavdu laba'al v'lo ashtaros. And now they are worshiping the Baal and the Ashtarot. What are Ashtarot? So Radak tells us Ashtarot. Well, together in Baal and Ashtarot, he says, Tzlomim ha-suyim kitzuris Ashtaros. V'heim nekevos ha-tzom. So these are different forms of shapes of idols, which in the shape of Ashtaros, which are female sheep. Female sheep, that's the Ashtaros. Others explain, and it fit along, no contradiction. Let's say the goddess of fertility. Okay, so now it's a very specific and focused gods. Okay, so there were other gods, and step two there was other gods. Elokim Acherim, Elokei Amim, other gods. Let me find something exciting. Yiddishkeit gets boring after a while. Davin can say Hashem three times a day gets boring. So let's see what else is out there. Let's just see what else is exciting. New and exciting. So you dabble a little bit in some new and exciting gods, but then you settle down on your regular gods, the Baal and Ashtarot. So now these are my gods. So this is like the rock bottom. This is the rock bottom. You forget about Hashem. You're totally into these other gods. And again, the idea of the sheep, the female sheep, this was what was in Egypt, where the god is the sheep, where the god sheep follow. So my god follows what I want. Whatever I want, that's exactly what my god believes in, because it's sheep, follows me. And now totally leaving Hashem. Now, when you do this, this is not going to evoke a very, good response, right? Now again, the Ashtaros, if it's the goddess of fertility, it means we're going back into licentious behavior. And that's where it all ends up at the end of the day. If there's no God in the world, it always ends up in the worst type of behavior. So obviously Hashem is not going to be happy with this. And just like the Jewish people descended three levels down, so Hashem's response will be mita keneged mita, measure for measure, three levels of response to what they are doing. So let's see Hashem's responses. And again, in Pasuk Yudalid, it's going to give the overall depiction. And it's going to say, you know, what the three steps going down are. So let's read carefully, Yudalid. Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael. Hashem gets upset with the Jewish people. Right? And therefore, when Hashem gets upset with the Jewish people, what does he do? Step one, Vayitneim biyad shoisim. He put them into the hands of shosim. Shosim are like marauders. In other words, these are people going to make trouble. And, you know, your local anti-Semites, they come, you know, blow up your shuls and things like that. You know, put them in the hands of the shosim, right? And they take their money, they take their wealth, they take their property. That's step one. And then, and vayashosu osam, and they would maraud them. Step two, vayim kareim biyad oiveha misaviv. He sold them now, as it were, into the hands of their enemies around them. Vlo yachlu od lamo lifnei avehim. And they could no longer stand before their enemies. So what does this mean? Selling them into the enemies that their enemies, who were their neighbors, were very bad to them, and put them in their hands, which means to say Hashem removed his hashkacha pratis, Hashem's divine supervision, he removed it from them. And that's part of, you know, the whole idea of a person having the tzelem Elohim, the image of Hashem, and that kind of is what Hashem focuses on. So Hashem says, you know, forget it. My divine focus on you is gone, and now you're left to what nature does. What nature does, nature will do. So what does nature do when one lamb is surrounded by 70 wolves? 70 wolves devour the lamb. So you got this one lamb, Klal Yisrael. So, you know, we'll see how you'll do. We'll see how the UN will treat you. You know, you want to be friends with them? You like to bow down to their idols? Let's see how they treat you. You'll be sold out to them. That's what he's saying over here. It's interesting, you know, Kanani, if you look in Sefer Bereishis, the story of Yehuda and Tamar, when it says he married the daughter of a Kanani over there, the first one, Kanani means a merchant. A merchant wants to sell his wares. So when Bnei Yisrael are bad, what happens? It's as if Hashem sold them to the Kanani. You know, like they purchased them, as it were. Okay. So that becomes the next step by selling them to them, as it were, and they will run their lives. And they can't stand against them, obviously, because by nature, it's not possible. So that's step two. So for the first Avera of doing Averos Stam, you did Averos, you still believe in Hashem and you're a good Jew, but you do a lot of Averos. So then what does Hashem do? Hashem causes that there's going to be marauders giving you trouble. That's one thing. Okay, so you have anti-Semitism. But now the fact that you now are partnering, second level descent is what? You're partnering with other gods. I believe in Hashem, but I also believe in the power of other gods. That means I don't really care so much about Hashem's divine supervision of my life. I don't want Hashem to be the only one running my life. So Hashem says, okay, so I won't run your life anymore. You don't want my hashkacha pratis anymore? You think, you know, on a rainy day, it's good to speak to this idol and that idol. You don't want me to run your life anymore? So he says, fine, I'm stepping out. If I'm not watching you, you're going to see what it's like when I'm not involved in your life. And now you're going to be sold out to these non-Jewish nations. So that's mita keneged mita on the next level. And then finally, leave Hashem in Gansan. The third level is what? Was what? That they forget Hashem completely. So now we go to the next level in Tesvav, Pasuk Tesvav. Bechol asher yotzu. And in any endeavor that they went out to do, let's say to fight a war. So Yad Hashem hoy sobom l'ra. It's not just Hashem forgot about them and left them be. Hashem's hand went against them to do bad to them. He actively was involved in a negative way for them. And it's not so much even what the enemies did. Hashem is causing all kinds of problems for them. And it would fall that way. And that's how the Malam explains it. He says, in the beginning it was just Hester Panim. Hashem hid his face from them. But it wasn't Hashem directly letting them have it. It was nature itself letting them have it. But now Hashem is actively punishing them. So when Hashem's Hashkocha Pratis is away from you, so it's up to nature, so sometimes we'll succeed. Even within nature, sometimes you succeed against your enemies. Okay, maybe you had an enemy you were able to defeat this time. And then one time you have an enemy you won't be able to defeat. When there's no Hashkocha Pratis, as it goes. But now it's active punishment. And therefore, whenever they went out, even if they should have won naturally, even if, say, the Jewish troops outnumbered the Goyish troops 10-1, and they should have won, it says, b'chol asher yatzu, in everything they went to, even the things they should have won, yad Hashem hoisubam l'ra, the hand of Hashem was against them to do evil, kasher diber Hashem, as Hashem said he would, v'kasher nishba Hashem l'ham, as Hashem swore to them, and it became very, very hard for them. There's a lot of suffering for them. Hashem already told us so many times, if you're going to do this, I'm going to make problems for you. And so it was. Okay, so that's pretty bad. So now you see the three levels going down, and how the three levels come back to harm us. Right? And you see this all the time. So now what happens? It doesn't stay this way. So Pasuk Tezayin. So Hashem says, I can't let this go on forever. Hopefully they've learned some lessons. Things are getting bad. So there's gotta be some way that this can improve. So now we move on to Tezayin. So what does Hashem do? Let's make sure we didn't forget anything. Oh, there's one Radak, interesting. B'chol asher yetzu, he says, who's the Radak? Oh, so Radak brings a second shot. He says, Al-Pidrush, the Radak says, wherever they will go, you'll figure, well, if things are really bad, maybe I could just leave the country and I'll be safe from this. I'll leave Israel. You know, it's bad in Israel. You know, the Arabs want to give us trouble in Israel. It's no problem. I'll go to another country. And who did this in the times of the Shoftim? This whole story of Rus. When Elimelech and Mahlon and Kilion, who were wealthy people from the tribe of Yehuda, and there was a hunger. This was bad. Hunger comes from Hashem. It doesn't come from your enemies. There's a hunger. They're wealthy. They figure, listen, we don't have to suffer with this. We'll pick up with our wealth and we'll go to Moab. Right? And what happens? They go to Moab and they both marry, the two sons marry 9 Jewish women. And then what does Hashem do? Bam, bam, bam. He kills the father, kills the sons, finished. So wherever you'll go, you think you're going to run out and leave? Hashem will finish you off over there. B'chol asher yetzu, wherever you're going to go. Very nice pshat of the Radak. Fits in very nicely here. So anyway, we move on. Tezayin. So finally, what happens? Vayokem Hashem shoftim. Hashem would set up for the Jewish people shoftim, judges. And what would be the purpose of the judges? Vayoshi'um miyan shosem. And the judges would create a salvation from the hands of their oppressors, from the marauders, from them. So, one second. Okay, so now Hashem is showing in these psukim how he's going to save them. So he brings Shoftim to save them. So, and that was one of the purposes of the Shoftim, was to alleviate the suffering that they had. And in that way, all the shoftim were equal in this way. Every shofet came along and he brought a tshuah. One second, let me just. He brought a salvation to them. But even within the shoftim, there were different levels of how effective the shofet was. And let's just look at the next couple of psukim there. So you have, interestingly, so a shofet would come along, he'd be the general, he'd go to battle, he'd knock out the enemies who were oppressing the Jews. There'd be a little bit of comfort. Things got a little better. So then he moves on. But there's still a difference between how long the salvation would last. we see that were some judges that the salvation lasted all the days of the Shofet, his entire duration, like we'll see Osniel ben Kenaz and Devorah, that as long as they were the Shofet, everything was fine. And there were certain Shoftim that while the Shofet was alive, even after he brought a salvation, the enemies would come back and again get the upper hand, like we'll see in the stories with Ehud and Shimshon and others. Now, what would that, how do you account for that? How come some Shoftim, there was peace for the rest? Once they made the big salvation, there'd be peace the rest of the time. And others Shoftim, they made a big salvation, but then it was back and forth. So Ramam explains that it depended on the generation. If the generation listened to the Shofet all the days of the Shofet, then there was salvation all the days of the Shofet until he died. And then, of course, when he died, then they would go back to their evil ways. But sometimes, even when the Shofet made a salvation, they would go, while he was alive, they would go back to the Avodah Zarah and things like that. And therefore, the enemy would come back and make troubles even during the times of the Shofet. The Shofet would have to still contend with that enemy. And that's what you see now in the next psukim in Yud Zayin. It says, "V'gamel shofteim lo shameyu." Right, and sometimes, and even to the shofet, they wouldn't listen to. Ki zonu acharei Elohim acherim v'shtachlam, because they strayed after foreign gods and they bowed down to them. Right, and soru maher min haderech, and they went away quickly from the path. What do those four words remind you of? Which clause in the Torah? Soru maher min haderech. Oh, Hashem said to Moshe when he's up in the mountain getting the luchos, you better look at your people. Soru maher min haderech. They quickly went off the path to worship the golden calf. Exact same lashon. Soru maher min haderech. Asher helchu avosam, which their fathers went on. Lishmo mitzvos Hashem, to listen to the mitzvos Hashem. Lo asu came, they did not do. In other words, the ways of the patriarchs was to listen to the mitzvahs of the prophets and the tzaddikim. But not, as it said, they served Hashem. We already learned in this parak that people served Hashem all the days of Yeshua and the Sikkanim, but they didn't do that. And then what would happen? Then the enemy would get stronger, even though the Shofet was alive. So that was one kind of Shofet. And now we're going to see the other type of Shofet in Pasuk Yudches. And when there were shoftim that Hashem, so in other words, Tezayin is saying, in general, Hashem brought a shofet who would help them. But sometimes in Yud Zayin, they didn't even listen to the shofet after he saved them. So we got back at the problems. And then in Yud Ches, it says, and then there were times when Hashem set up for them a shofet. Hashem was with the shofet. And he saved them from the hands of their enemies. Kol yemei ha-shofet, all the days of the shofet. Ki inochem Hashem minakosam, because Hashem, regretted from the crying out that he heard what was, the Jewish people were crying out. In other words, he changed his mind. First he said, I'm going to punish them. But now he hears that they're crying out, because mipnei lo chatzeim v'doch, again, because of their pressed state that they were in. So then Hashem would help them, and then the people were having it good during the whole time of the Shoftim. Meaning to say, that was the situation where the Jews always remained in their good state of doing tshuva, all the days of the Shofet. They cried out to Hashem, and Hashem said, I've listened to you, I'm going to help you. And therefore, there were certain times where they were as good as they could be. So sometimes the Shofet had a good tenure, and sometimes the Shofet did not have such a good tenure. But be that as it may. So why in Yud Zayin is there like a reference to the Soru Maher to the Cheda Egel? Why is it even a hint of the Cheda Egel? Because we know the Chazal say that there's no punishment in the world that does not come from the Cheda Egel. That root of that rebellion against Hashem, That is in the psyche of the Jewish people, that, you know, we don't always have to listen to Hashem. So therefore, you know, that's always in us that we have to deal with. What does that do with that?
Is it from Adam?
Let's start with Adam, but then they had corrected it before Sinai, and then the Jews messed up again right after Sinai. Okay, so now what happened? Be that as may, whoever the Shofet was, no matter how good he was or no matter how good he wasn't, But as soon as the shofet died, Yashuvu, the people went back to their bad ways. And they did more destructive acts than their fathers beforehand did. They did a worse job of serving Hashem than the previous generation. To go after the foreign gods and to serve them and to bow down to them. And lo, he pilu mimalaleha midarka makasha. And nothing fell away from the bad deeds, mimalaleha from their deeds, and darka makasha from their hard way, from their bad way. In other words, you know, they did as bad as they wanted to. They did bad deeds, was malaleha. And darka makasha means their bad ideology and way of life. Their bad way of life. They even did worse when the next generation came. And of course, then what would happen? Pasuk Chav, Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael, Hashem would get angry at the Jewish people. Vayomer, and he'd say, Yan asher over ha-goy hazeh es brisi, because this, now what does he call the Jewish people? A goy. You have Yisrael, we have Am, and then you have goy. Goy means literally a nation. It's not an Am, as we were before. In Pasuk Yud, we were an Am. An Am comes from the word Im, which means with, together, of a higher level. A Goy, where does the word Goy come from? Why are Goyim called Goyim? Because Goy comes from the word Gvia. And Gvia means a body. Just a body. You know, that, when you have the expression, Vayigva Vayomos. Vayigva means, so the body died, and then Vayomos, and then the Neshama left. They're a bunch of bodies. In other words, superficial realities. Right? It's a superficial reality. So even the way the Jews are described, we started as B'nai Yisrael and Am, but then you get to the point, you're just a goy. You're a nation like any other nation. There's nothing special about you at all. Right? And that's when you get very scared, when you hear secular Jews saying, we should be like every other goy. We should be like every other nation. Oy vavoy, if we're going to be like every other nation, you're goy. So that's what a goy is. You know, it's just a body. Focusing on the physical pleasures of life, a rational animal, does haste a goy. That's a goy. And the Jewish people finally descend to such a level after Hashem saves you and you have miracles with the shofet and everything. And then the shofet dies. Okay, so we go back to our ways, go back to the old idol. So that certainly is not good. So now, I found on a website, I don't remember which one, a very nice little chart. So I'll just give this out quickly. It's called the sine wave of Jewish history. In other words, what we've just read. Oh, I'm sorry, Rafal. Yeah, while we're having out the sheets, I'm sorry.
Okay, so the Jews were off the Derech. Hashem punished them, but then felt bad about it, and we sent Shoftit. Why Shoftit? Like, what was special about a Shoftit at this point, as opposed to a Melech or a general or something like that?
Well, first of all, Melech wasn't time for a Melech. Number one, so there weren't going to be any kings yet. That's number one. Number two, the Shoftit was really a general. Certainly, the Shoftit was a military leader. And all the story. No, he would also remember. What was the shofet doing? Bringing the balance back, right? Shvita against hitpashtut, right? The non-Jewish world is expanding in all licentious ways, and of course, eventually, what does that happen? Eventually, you know, terrible anti-Semitism. So we need a military leader to save us. That's what the shofet did. He would save us, and obviously, he saved us. He was representing Hashem. So the Jewish people say, I remember Hashem. Yeah, Hashem is pretty good. Look what Hashem's man is doing, a good job over here. So of course that's going to bring them back to a certain extent. You know, being a military leader does help. And if you save the Jews and you're doing it in the name of Hashem, so the Jewish people, you know, get a round of tshuva. They get aroused to do tshuva. Right? And he says, you know, you got to be better and this and that. You know, to what extent he acted like a conventional shofet, you know, that depended on the shofet. But one thing for sure, he brought a lot of ease to the Jewish people by being, but mostly than anything else, they were generals. They were generals. They were providing relief from the non-Jewish oppressors.
Emphasis on the protection as opposed to
it would see that way, but you know, they obviously some were stronger than others, as we'll see. So let's take a look at this little sine wave of Jewish history. So those of you on YouTube, KosherTube, I'm sorry, you'll have to email me if you want me to send this to you. So, this is what it looks like. Okay.
What's your email address?
What's my email address? Yossi, Y-O-S-S-I at Rogers.com. This way we'll see who's following, if I'll get any emails, if anyone's interested. See, look at the points on the wave. Okay. Point number one, B'nai Yisrael, under the leadership and direction of a shofet or navi, are returning to Hashem. They have defeated their enemies and their lives are improving. That's step number one. I mean, you could have started anywhere. One could be, you know, you got to start somewhere, right? Two, B'nai Yisrael, so in other words, we started low, it's kind of low, and now that the shofet's helping us out, we're getting a little back on track, so now we go up to a plateau, number two. B'nai Yisrael are at a spiritual and physical height. Their lives are great. They are following Hashem's ways, studying Torah, and are always conscious of Hashem. They are free of their enemies and are spiritually and physically successful and happy. Good. Now, things looking going down a little bit. Step number three. B'nai Yisrael become self-satisfied and take their success for granted. They begin to imitate and adopt the ways of the non-Jews around them, though they also serve Hashem. Okay? So what was that? That's, you know, you're already starting to do a few averos, and you're going on to step two, where you know, it's Hashem plus other gods. We're starting to go down. So number four, B'nai Yisrael have moved away from Hashem, not really forgetting Hashem completely. That's the third level of the Malbim. Hashem sends a non-Jewish ruler to oppress them. That's how it begins. And then, we're hitting rock bottom down to five. B'nai Yisrael suffer under the rule of other nations. In their time of need and pain, they remember Hashem. They cry out to Hashem for help. Step number six. Hashem sends a shofet or a navi to B'nai Yisrael to save them both spiritually and physically. The shofet navi must lead the people in turning their hearts fully to Hashem. That's step six, which brings us back to step seven. B'nai Yisrael begin to return to Hashem's ways, and the Shofar Navi leads to the feet of the enemies that are oppressing them. And then back to step one. Right? Back to step one. That they're under the leadership of the Shofar, things are getting better, and then they go back up to step two. And then what? And the cycle repeats itself. Over and over and over. So that's what he says. So this is the sine wave of Jewish history. And the note says it's probably the main theme of the book of Shoftim. Not probably, it is the main theme of the book of Shoftim. B'nai Yisrael backslide, they forget about Hashem and leave the Torah's ways between each shofet. And that's what just goes back and forth. And that's the history of Jewish people.
What point would you say we are at today?
I just
said we're 3 or 4. Where are we on the thing? We're definitely 3.
At least 3.
And most probably 4.
So we're descending, we're not going
up. Oh, we're definitely going down. We're at number 4. We're just waiting for number 5 to come. Right? That's, well, 4 could take time. I don't know how long 4 is going to take. Right? But this is the most important history lesson you can give anybody. You show this to any secular Jew. Do you realize this pattern has gone so many times over and over and over? Right? So, you know, if we're at number 4, it means number 5 is coming. It's not going to mean we're going to go backwards to 3 and then 2.
Good.
It's not. It's just the way it is. It's just not going to be that way. It's going to go to 5.
In terms of generations, how many generations looking at between each point?
There's no rule. It could take 100 years, it could take 200 years. Listen, we've already been in the United States and Canada. We've had it good since the early 1900s. Okay, we had a big Mapol in Europe. But that's already 70 years ago. It's already 70 years ago. It's a long time. It's already third generation you're talking. You're not talking about Holocaust. Let's see, even in my family. My parents are Holocaust survivors. I'm first generation North American. My kids were second generation. And my grandchildren is third generation already. another 20 years, my grandchildren will get married. So within 100 years, you're going to be putting in a third and a fourth generation already. So that's serious. And the Jewish people are declining rapidly. Rapidly. The best tier of experts are saying there's only another 10 or 15 years left to save Jewish people who are secular, because then they'll be totally out. There'll be nothing to save. And then the problem's going to be even the frum people that are going off the path. There's going to be a major problem. So we're heading on a normal course of disaster. And I just want you to know. But that's, so we gotta, you know, do what we can do. You don't have to be depressed about this. This is the will of Hashem.
This is the Hashkacha
of Hashem.
What? If you're saying it's inevitable that we're going down, so doing what we can do, is this just delaying going down?
Well, first of all, in every destruction, there are Jews who survive. Torah has always survived. Even if Hitler, Yimach Shemo, destroyed Europe, there are those who survived and rebuilt and things started again for the next group. You got to at least make sure you're providing a solid enough base that when your children and grandchildren go through a Holocaust, they will at least come out religious and be the basis to continue it again. Now, there will be one time where at the end of time, we end up on level two and it stays there. But, you know, we never know what's going to happen. But if there isn't any religious Jews through the Holocaust of life, then there's nothing to continue the religion at all. So that's our job, to try to maintain what will remain afterwards. Okay, let's just quickly finish up the parak. So this is a good chart. Show it to your secular Jewish friends. And maybe they'll get it. Maybe they won't. They may say, well, so what's wrong if there's no more Jews? It's wrong. There's no more Jews. Chaval, gamani. So now I'm upset with you, and Hashem says, gamani lo osif lo rishish with them, and I'm no longer going to continue to drive out the enemies from before you. Okay. Mina goyim asher osav Yeshua v'yamas, from the goyim that Yeshua left over, and then he died. And why am I going to leave them? Chav beis. So they will be a test for the Jewish people. Are they going to guard the way of Hashem to go in it? Like their fathers guarded, or not? So Hashem said, you know, I'm not going to, you know, you've been making problems, so I'm not going to drive them out. I'm not going to get rid of them once and for all. They're going to be a test. And that's indeed what happened. So Hashem left these goyim to not drive them out right away. When the son be at Yeshua, he didn't leave them in the hands of Yeshua. And there would always be this test. If the Jewish people do what they're supposed to do, that's fine. If they don't do what they're supposed to do, then it's going to be major problems. So it's interesting what he mentions in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Where is it now? Where he mentions the idea of listening Shema Bekol Hashem. Where is that? Oh, in Pasuk Chaf, it said, V'lo shamu likoli. It says, V'lo shamu likoli. And back when the Malach spoke to them, it says, V'lo shamu bitkoli. Go back to Pasuk Beis. The Malach lets him have it. He says, V'lo shematem bitkoli. You didn't listen in my voice. And here in Pasuk Chaf, Hashem got angry at the people. V'lo shamu likoli. They didn't listen to my voice. So what's the difference? So the Malach says, listening bikol means accepting the commandment in and of itself. In other words, are you going to listen to what he's asked you to or not? I didn't listen to what I said. Right. Shmia likol, listening to the kol, that's to hear not just what's going on, but intellectually letting it get integrated. And they didn't even want to hear the message b'chlal. It says listening to what you should do and then listening to what the whole messages are. And what the shofet is teaching them and what Hashem is bringing out to them. So they didn't even care to understand what the message is. Now somebody says, okay, I don't want to do what you want me to do. But don't you see what's going on? Don't you see the message? Don't you understand what's going on? I don't even want to hear that. So that's that lowest level where you're not even interested in understanding what it's all about. And that's, of course, a worse level. A Jew says, I understand, Hashem, okay, and listen, you told me not to, I didn't. Okay, I know I'm going to get punished, whatever. But then the lower level, and that's when you become a goy. You become a goy. You've descended so much, just a body. You don't even listen to the whole concept. What it means to be a Jew, what it means the future destiny of the Jew. Don't you understand why Hashem is doing that? Don't bother me with all this philosophy. I just want to have a good time. So you descend to the level of Kobe. So that is the end of this introduction, and God willing, tomorrow we begin Perek Gimel. We'll begin to get into the first of the Shoftim.